Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, the men and women working in Virginia's public schools. VEA, teaching, learning, leading. Online at veanea.org.
Welcome to Virginia Conversations. Today, we're opening up the phone lines to help you understand the new Affordable Care Act. I'm May Lily Lee. Thanks for joining us. On October 1st, open enrollment began for Obamacare. Things were off to a shaky start, thanks to days of computer glitches and political challenges on Capitol Hill. While that debate goes on, the Affordable Care Act is, for now, the law of the land. Today, we're not here to debate it. We'll leave that to Congress. Instead, we're here to help you understand the benefits of the ACA and help guide you or your loved ones through the process of enrolling in the program. The federal government has chosen many organizations around the country to be navigators of the ACA, charged with providing education and guidance for the uninsured and helping them select the best options for health care. Navigators hold public meetings, health fairs, and webinars to educate the public on the Affordable Care Act. Representatives of two of Virginia's navigator groups are with us today to explain the program and answer your questions. Joining us in Richmond is Jill Hankin, a health attorney with the Virginia Poverty Law Center. That group has received a $1.3 million federal grant to hire navigators and to help people enroll in the health plan. Another group which received a grant to help Virginians understand the ACA is Advanced Patient Advocacy. Joining us by phone is APA's president, Wendy Bennett. Welcome to you both. Hi, Wendy. Hi, Jill. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
I want to start with you, Jill, if we might. Now, there is a new insurance marketplace in place, no doubt about it. It started in October and will go all the way through March of 2014. People will have an opportunity to take advantage of what we might consider a gap in health care. Explain what that new marketplace looks like.
Well, Virginia decided not to create and operate its own health insurance marketplace. So instead, the federal government is doing that for us. And at the federal marketplace, which you can go to on healthcare.gov on the internet, this will be a place for you to apply for health insurance coverage, for you to see what plans are being offered in Virginia, to compare those plans, to see what kind of services and cost sharing is required, and make the best choice for your families. The federal marketplace is also the only place you can go to get tax credits, which will help you pay the cost of your health insurance premiums.
Now, you've taken it on the road. I'm interested to know how the seminars have been going and what's on the mind of folks who show up.
Well, there's a very steep learning curve out there for all of us. The law, it's a large piece of legislation. There are a lot of complexities. There are different rules about who can shop in the marketplace, how the tax credits are calculated. So people are very, very eager for information and to learn more about the law so that they can make an educated decision for themselves and their families.
That's Jill Hankin. Now, Wendy, I want to talk with you about your demographic. There is a specific audience that you are catering to. Explain.
Correct. So the scope of our Navigator Award was really focused on hospitals. So we've been doing enrollment services, providing enrollment services to the citizens of Virginia for about 13 years, a little over 13 years. And our advocates have been located in facilities. So what we've done through the Navigator Grant, we've been able to add navigators to provide assistance and understanding what's available on the marketplace. So our navigators are in facilities. We're working with providers. I think one of our biggest obstacles, and Jill will agree, is the education and information component. So it's not only the patient or the individual that really needs some assistance in understanding what's available to them, what meets their health care needs, and what their tax subsidies might be, and the cost to them. It's also the provider, the health provider and community network as well. So we've been doing a lot of work with providers, working with our hospitals to understand so that they know that there are navigators out there in communities to assist patients through the education and enrollment process.
Now, Jill, you mentioned healthcare.gov, which people can go to, and we'll also post that on our website. I think the first thing that might flash in front of people's minds is, great, I've got to go work through this system. I'll probably be on the phone for hours. Explain in a realistic sense what people can expect.
Well, I think everybody is aware that the first week of open enrollment has not gone very smoothly. There have been glitches in the federal website, which have made it fairly difficult for individuals and, in fact, our navigators to help a whole lot of people over the last week. So we're waiting and looking forward to fixes to that system. And I know from conversations I've had with folks in D.C. that they are working 24/7 to correct the glitches so people can apply smoothly. And I understand that things are better today than they were last week. So I urge people to be patient and continue to check healthcare.gov over the next days just to see how things are working. But I also want to point out that there are other ways to apply. Where you're not required to go and make an application online. For example, there's also a federal call center, and I could give you that number. It's 1-800-318-2596, where you can call and talk to an operator who can actually guide you through the application process over the phone. And I understand that that method has been working for people. The call center, by the way, is open 24/7. So you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning when things are relatively quiet and get some help from those operators. There are also ways to apply through a new state of Virginia website called covervirginia.org. And there's a state call center available to you. I'll give that number as well, and we can repeat these later. It's 1-855-242-8282. And I'll point out to reach one of our navigators in our program, we do have a website, which is enroll-virginia, spelled out, .com, that has a locator map, where you can check with look on the map, check your city or county in Virginia, and we've included a list of all the various assisters who are available to help people, including navigators, certified application counselors, and other trusted organizations that can provide individuals with help. So there are lots of ways for people to get information and to get assistance.
We'll post those website addresses and the phone numbers on our Virginia Conversations website as well. Gail from Charlottesville, have you tried some of these alternative paths to ACA?
Yes. I don't qualify for a subsidy, so I don't need to enroll through healthcare.gov, but I went to just ehealthinsurance.com and found my new rates for a comparable program with the same insurance company that I have now. And I've reassured myself that not only can I get insurance now, which I couldn't before because of a pre-existing condition, but it's going to cost us $200 a month less.
Okay. Jill, have you heard of ehealthinsurance.com?
Not really. Now, that is not an avenue to get premium tax credits, as the caller said. So she's paying the full amount of her health insurance, which would say to me that her income is higher than the income limit for premium tax credits. People who have income between 100% of the poverty line and 400% of the poverty line can get premium tax credits to help them pay for their insurance, but they have to go through the federal marketplace to get that premium. And just as an example of what is 100 to 400% of poverty, for an individual, it's about $11,500 per year to $45,000 or $46,000 a year for an individual. For a family of four, it's 23 $38,500 a year to $94,000. So that's the income spread for families of different sizes. And I also wanted to point out that one other way to apply for coverage is through a paper application. If people don't have access to the internet or aren't comfortable with the internet, they can mail in a paper application. And finally, our departments of social services throughout Virginia also will help people apply for Medicaid, for FAMIS, which is our child health insurance program. And if you don't qualify for those programs, your application will be transferred to the federal marketplace where you'll be evaluated for tax subsidies.
Gail, thank you so much for that tip on e-health insurance. And perhaps, Wendy, this caller's question may be for you and also followed up by Jill. Rob from Charlottesville, you want to talk about Medicaid expansion. Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Hello. Yeah. The question that I have is, will Virginia be offering services? I mean, we've really created this donut hole, folks at 0 to 100% SEL. By not expanding Medicaid, they're not going to be eligible for a plan in the marketplace, or at least, discounts in the marketplace. They're not going to be eligible for Medicaid unless they fit in one of the categories. We're really hurting the poorest of the poor by not expanding Medicaid. Are there any options for these folks?
Thanks for your call, Rob. Wendy.
Yeah, that really, unfortunately, is the unintended gap with the ACA. So when the Supreme Court decided to allow states to make individual decisions on expansion of Medicaid, what they did not do is take into consideration those that are below the 100% of FPL. So those are the individuals, unless you're absolutely correct, unless you meet a category such as you're a disabled individual or a child, you're not going to qualify for any subsidy on the marketplace. You can enroll into the marketplace. You can't. There are no subsidies available available for that group. And you're right. It is going to be affect the poorest of the poor. So that is a correct statement.
Yes, and I'd say this is a problem, too. A lot of folks who are very interested in finding out about their health care options now are learning to their dismay that they fall into this Medicaid gap in Virginia. There are 1 million uninsured Virginians today, and about 400,000 of them probably would qualify for a Medicaid expansion. So while it's still being considered by the Commonwealth of Virginia, on January 1, we expect to see this major gap in our healthcare system. The legislature is looking at Medicaid reforms right now as a way to evaluate whether or not we should move forward with the expansion. But it is a problem leaving hundreds of thousands of low-income Virginians uninsured.
We have a call from Virginia Beach. From Paul, you're a small business owner. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Yes, good morning. What an interesting question. How ACA might benefit small business owners, yes?
Well, I'm a small business owner who has been a self-payer since I was a sole proprietor. I incorporated many years ago. I've got one employee, but I'm basically a self-payer. And I'm wondering how this, quote, Affordable Care Act is going to make my premiums, which are about $22,000 a year, which is a good chunk of my yearly income. How it's going to make my premiums more affordable when in the past, 10 years I've been struggling to make sure that my family's covered with health insurance. I'm wondering how I can find out whether this act is going to help me, or is this going to be the kind of thing where it's only going to be helping people that don't have insurance, and the people that have been doing the right thing and paying, are they the ones that are going to that this is going to be thrown on their backs to cover? Because my premiums have gone up exponentially in the past year and a half, from $1,400 to $1,700 a month, and I'm just wondering how this is going to make it more affordable for me.
Great, thank you for your call, Paul.
Well, Paul, people who People who currently have what they call minimum essential coverage are not allowed to go to the exchange and get premium tax credit. So that would be people who currently have Medicaid, Medicare, TRICARE, or people who have access to affordable health insurance on their jobs. Now, you are basically self-employed, and you've been in the individual market shopping for insurance for yourself and your family, and I'm not quite clear if you also help the one other employee that you have. As a very small business under the Affordable Care Act, you're not required to provide health insurance to your employee, but you can. There's a special part of the marketplace called the Shop Exchange where small businesses can shop for health insurance and see what's offered to small businesses, which allow you, your business, to be a part of a much broader risk pool of all the other small businesses. So with that in mind, there could be lower rates in store for you if you buy insurance as a small business through the Shop Exchange. And there also are tax credits available to certain small employers that do provide health insurance to their employees. But you also have the option to go to the marketplace and shop as an individual. And if your family income is under the 400% of poverty, you may well be entitled to tax credits. If your income is over that amount, you still might find that the rates are more affordable than what you're paying today. Because let's remember, the whole system of insurance has changed. The rates can no longer be based on your health status or your sex. You know, women were paying traditionally a third more for their health insurance just because they were women. That's gone. So today, the rates can be based only upon where you live in Virginia. There are 12 different regions. Your age, and obviously the cost goes up as you get older, and then whether or not you smoke. So you should go shopping on the marketplace to see what your new options might be. And I think you'll find that some of the prices are lower, and certainly if you qualify for tax credits, that will really help you pay for your family's health insurance.
Thank you so much for your call, Paul. And we have another follow-up call, which we'll take after the break, from Andon. Similar question, different circumstance. Also, Patrick, both of you, please hold with us as we go to break. That was Jill Hankin, health attorney with the Virginia Poverty Law Center. We're also joined by Wendy Bennett, president of Advanced Patient Advocacy, and we'll be talking more with them. You're listening to Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio. This reminder that next week, we'll have a look at the highlights of this year's Virginia Film Festival. That's right, it's October already. Can you believe it? We love the Virginia Film Festival. We love the way that Charlottesville lights up around this time of year. And we'll talk to some filmmakers from around the state. Stay with us as Virginia Conversations continues in just a moment. But first, when you want to find out more about the websites and the telephone numbers and all of the additional information that you might not have had an opportunity to write down, just check out our website at Virginia Conversations, and also we have a Facebook page, so you can chime in there as well. We'll see you right after this break. Today we're discussing the Affordable Care Act and the questions you have about the program. Our guests are two experts in the field tasked with helping folks understand and sign up for the coverage. Wendy Bennett is the president of Advanced Patient Advocacy, and Jill Hankin is a health attorney with the Virginia Poverty Law Center. Wendy, can you give us an overview of what Advanced Patient Advocacy does?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Crystal clear.
Okay, great. Well, what we do is we work specifically with patients or individuals in communities who are seeking medical assistance and help them enroll in a number of health coverage options to include Medicaid, COBRA, workers' compensation, disability benefits, motor vehicle, as well as now beginning October 1st, what's fondly known as Obamacare and options offered through the Virginia marketplace. So our individuals, we have advocates that go as far north as about the Loudoun County area, south we go to Greater Richmond, west is the Washington Wise County area, and then as far east as the Tidewater area. So we have a pretty broad coverage as it relates to advocates, and specifically for this program, navigators in those areas.
Has this new program thrown you asunder?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We've been in preparation for some time. We've actually received awards in other states and have been doing some work with Colorado, Colorado is a state that has decided to prepare and create their own exchange, and they started several years ago, and we've been involved in that. With that said, we decided to take what we call a soft launch approach, knowing that a system like this, a national system like this, to expect that it was going to go off October 1st without a hitch would be a little unrealistic. So we prepared our navigators and some of our advocates as backup to be there for patients and individuals who were seeking assistance in enrolling into the marketplace. And so with that said, as Jill said earlier, there are a lot of avenues outside of just going on to healthcare.gov, which we did experience a lot of technical issues in healthcare.gov. And so we've taken a lot of appointments, we've done a lot of education, we've helped assist with paper applications. So we've really done a lot of that to ensure that the message is out. And what we're finding really is the biggest, I wouldn't call it an obstacle, but the biggest challenge is really making sure that community members in Virginia understand what is now available to them. I think we go back and think a lot of traditional insurances and what they prohibited from coverage. What the ACA now has done, it's really expanded options. It's waived the pre-existing condition exclusion, which maybe we can talk a little bit more about. That's significant for citizens of Virginia, those that have chronic illnesses, because now we can coordinate care better. It's provided expanded coverage for young adults who, up to the age of 26, to be covered under their parents' policies. So while we did experience some technical glitches, I think really the challenge is getting out there, communicating the good things that are available now to the citizens of Virginia and being able to have affordable health coverage.
Wendy, what is your organization's website?
Folks can reach us at www.enrollapa.com. And for the folks in Virginia, they can also call. I'll give you a phone number. It's 804-212-1416.
Great. And again, I'll offer up that this information will show up on our website as well. And for you, Jill, Virginia Poverty Law Center, what is a good way for folks to reach the center?
For our navigators, again, our website is www.enroll-virginia.com, and you can find our navigators, our Enroll Virginia navigators are listed there with the map of Virginia in all localities of Virginia, and we have a toll-free number, 888-392-5132, that will automatically route the caller to the Enroll Virginia Navigator who works in your area or your region. And I should say right now we have about 30 navigators, some full-time, some part-time, some volunteers working all around the Commonwealth to provide application assistance, outreach and educational programming. So our navigators are real excited to be out there planning programs through libraries and community health centers and working with small businesses. And we also have a partnership with the Young Invincibles Project, which is run out of Washington, D.C. We have two full-time equivalent navigators working with Young Invincibles who will focus their efforts in the community college system in Northern Virginia. The Northern Virginia Community College System is a huge educational network of 8 different campuses, and our navigators will work with students, faculty, and staff with the hope of getting a lot of younger, healthier people enrolled in their in health insurance, which is so important for them, and it's also important for the success of the program.
I mentioned before the break that Andon from Charlottesville had a question. I know he had to go. I'm going to ask on his behalf. He has insurance through UVA, but he still wonders if he needs ACA. And I think this is a common question. You know, this is the point of the marketplace, to compare and contrast what you already have with what's out there.
It depends if his insurance with UVA is if he's an employee of the university or if he's a student who's selected to get student health insurance. If he's an employee, then there is a question about whether or not his employer-based insurance is adequate and affordable. And there's a calculation for that. If the cost of the employee-only health insurance is less than 9.5% of family income, then it's deemed affordable. But it also has to be an adequate policy in that it has to cover at least 60% on average health care costs.
9.5% gross or net?
No, they'll be looking at adjusted gross income. All this is run through tax code principles, so we'll be looking at tax code principles both for household size and adjusted gross income with a couple of modifications to that.
Patrick from Grayson County, you have a question that I don't know. This is an interesting one. It's a what-if question. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Hi there.
I also have a question that I'd like to follow up with at the development from having been listening.
Sure, and I'll remind all of our listeners to keep these questions brief because we've got quite a lineup.
I bet you do. I very much wanted this to work, and I'm a little bit dismayed in the fact that there was some information, non-dissemination of information that has waited too long. My curiosity is kind of a comment, actually, which is the fact that we all know that the government has everybody's address, and I don't know why there wasn't a pamphlet distributed to every single mailbox of the nation so that everybody would have known what to do, when to do it, and how. And that just didn't happen. And it just
okay, thank you for that comment. What's the question you have?
The question is that I, again, because I wanted this very much to work, I've been self-employed for 37 years, and living in Virginia, I have found out that I am not going to qualify still for health care. And my question is, knowing that I'm not alone, are those of us who are not going to qualify, we will not be able to afford health insurance, are we then also, because we're at the bottom of the totem pole, going to be facing the fine?
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate your comment and question.
Well, Patrick, it sounds like you are one among perhaps 400,000 Virginians who will be falling into a Medicaid gap unless our policymakers decide to expand Medicaid at some point next year, and I hope that they do, because in the meantime, you fall in the gap and you don't qualify for health insurance. So you asked whether or not you would be penalized for not having insurance, and the answer is no, you will not. There is specific guidance on that question. Anyone who falls into the Medicaid gap is not going to be subject to the tax penalty for failing to have health insurance. So I know that's small comfort, but at least you should know that there won't be a tax penalty for you.
We have another call, and perhaps, Wendy, this is part of the demographic that you're dealing with. It's Philip from Blacksburg. Good morning to you, Philip.
Hello.
Yes, what's your scenario?
Okay, right now I have Anthem, and about a year ago we were paying about $800 a month, and now we pay $1,200 a month. I have 7 children, and I'm married. And from what my wife and I, and exploring, you know, what the like, you know, what the future and payment in healthcare is going to be through the Affordable Care Act. We found that, yeah, we're going to save about $200 a month, but we're going to be paying a high deductible because right now we don't pay a deductible. Mm-hmm. So the likelihood that myself or my wife or one of our seven children are going to have to go to the doctor's or the ER is great. And if you take the monthly payment plus a deductible that we will have to pay in the future on the Affordable Care Act, it's going to far exceed the cost that I'm paying right now.
Yeah, do you want to give it a shot, Wendy?
Sure. So, I mean, that really is, that's really what the ACA provides, is it provides choices. And it's, you bring up a scenario that we've been finding a lot, is individuals that actually have insurance, but they may be underinsured or they may have a high-cost product. And the marketplace provides an opportunity to look at different choices. And it's really important that you consider your, like it sounds like you've done, your family situation and the providers you use and the cost, your utilization today with your providers and hospitals and what your out-of-pocket expenses are compared to what's available in the marketplace. And as I believe Jill and I have been saying, the navigators are really should be there to help you navigate through and understand those products that are available. Now, what does the future hold? Will there be eventually more products available that are more cost effective for you? Possibly. I mean, I think the thing to keep in mind is this is a very new program. And insurances, to the prior caller's point, insurance companies were really just announced several weeks ago, right before the opening of the marketplace, and as well as information and pamphlets we got really right before the marketplace opened on October 1st. So,
well, from what I've seen, you know, through Anthem and is everybody's premium has been going up in anticipation with this. So I disagree with you in the fact that you believe that it's going to be an affordable program in the near future because nothing, it's been doing nothing but going up.
Sir, well, I can't tell from what you've said whether or not you've actually looked at the plans being offered through the marketplace and whether or not you have evaluated whether or not you can get a tax credit at all based on your family size and your family income. Have you been told, have you found out about the availability of tax credits?
I don't know if we qualify for a tax credit.
Yeah, with
it really will depend on what your income is. And there are some great, if you go under Kaiser Family Foundation, if you don't want to do it through healthcare.gov and you just want to go through Kaiser Family Foundation, there are some calculators there that are very beneficial to see if you qualify for tax subsidy.
Okay, and I want to move on.
I wanted to say one other thing. I mean, there are choices through the marketplace of different kinds of healthcare plans with different cost-sharing responsibilities. You may find plans that have high deductibles but low cost-sharing or vice versa. And also families that have income below 250% of the poverty line are entitled to very important cost-sharing protections if they buy what's called a silver plan, which is sort of a second-tier kind of health care coverage. And so there may be more research for you to do.
Thanks for your call, Philip. Elaine from Virginia Beach, you have a question as well relating to Medicaid patients. Good morning.
Okay, I have a friend who is disabled. She is below the poverty line. She's in her mid-50s. She has Medicaid in Virginia, and she had a supplemental policy that would take care of cost, you know, co-shares and stuff, but she's just been dropped by that. not available anymore, the company said. So we need to find out, is there anything she can get through HCA?
Do you want me to try answering that?
Yes, please.
Hey, Lily. Okay. I might redirect you to one of our advocates. However, it sounds like you said she was disabled?
Yes.
And does she have Medicare currently?
No, Medicaid. She's in her
Medicaid. If she has coverage through Medicaid, and it really depends on her disability, there are some provisions. She may qualify for one of the programs through the exchange, but it's really going to depend on her unique situation. And I would be happy to again give you our 80 our number in the facility. It sounds like you're from the Tidewater region.
Yes.
Hampton Roads. Okay, because we have individuals there that may be able to assist her. But if you call 804-212-1416, my preference would be rather than talking about a personal situation and just exactly how she may qualify, is we can have, that would be one of our advocates that can help you with that.
Let me read this back. 804.
No, that's okay. We'll put that up on the website. Go ahead, Jim.
And Elaine, if she is currently on Medicaid, then typically people on Medicaid do not need a supplemental policy at all. People on Medicare often do. So this is something she should.
She had a Medigap policy.
Yeah. Well, that usually goes
deductibles and everything else.
Usually goes with Medicare. So this person ought to get to one of our navigators or the Advanced Patient Advocacy Navigators to get some individual assistance.
And you're listening to Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio. Elaine, go to our website for that information and more. This reminder that past editions of Virginia Conversations can be heard at virginiapublicradio.org. We'll be back in just a moment.
Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, supporting public discourse through sponsorship of Virginia Public Radio. Resources for parents and teachers online at veanea.org. More information about Virginia Conversations and other Virginia Public Radio programming can be found online at virginiapublicradio.org. This is Virginia Public Radio.
Today, we're talking about the Affordable Care Act and answering questions on how it all works and how you or your loved ones can take advantage of the program. Our guests are Jill Henkin, a health attorney with the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and Wendy Bennett, president of Advanced Patient Advocacy. Both organizations are part of the team of navigators chosen and trained by the federal government to help implement the ACA. Jill, talk to me about open enrollment.
Right. Open enrollment for products through the new health marketplace, federal marketplace, started October 1. It runs all the way through March 31st. I did want to point out that if people want to have health insurance in place for January 1st, they do need to be enrolled by December 15th. So that's an important date. But open enrollment will continue until the end of March. And even after March, if there are different circumstances, if your family circumstances have changed, like a marriage, a birth, a divorce, you can then also apply for health insurance. And Medicaid and FAMIS coverage is available year-round.
We have a call now from Susan from Newport News. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. I just want to clarify that even though my husband gets insurance through his work, I can go through the healthcare.gov for my children and I.
Susan, that's going to depend on whether or not you and your children also have access to your husband's employer-based coverage.
We
and
do.
Whether or not,
however, it's expensive.
Yeah. Well, they're going to look to see whether or not the cost to your husband as the employee is affordable to him and your family. This is another glitch substantively in the Affordable Care Act. They want people to join the private employer-based coverage whenever possible. But again, a navigator can sit down and work through this to determine whether or not you are able to get marketplace products. You may not be able to get tax credits.
Okay, and I have tried working the website for a week now on all kinds of different hours, and I cannot get through. I get to a certain point. And
I'd encourage you to use that toll-free federal phone number and try to call sort of after hours, call in the evening, and you could talk directly with an operator who can help you through the process. And if that is also a problem, find one of our navigators.
And Susan, if you weren't here for the first part of the program, she gave that number out. We will have that on our Virginia Conversations website. What was great about that is you could call at 3 in the morning and maybe get better luck.
Okay, I think that's also the one that's on the actual application.
Yes.
Yes.
That is correct.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I have a question for you, Wendy. Do you find that a lot of folks who are just now learning about Obamacare automatically assume that they're not going to be eligible? Oh, well, I've already got insurance through work. Or, I'm covered, I'm fine. And do not realize that it is something they should look into so they can contrast and compare those policies.
Right. We've really found, we found that, but we found a lot of excitement. So as we've taken the time, obviously, and that's the navigator's role, to really explain what some of the options are and the benefits, like I talked about earlier, some of the benefits that now are available with essential health benefits and understanding all of the availability and why that comparison is so important, that they can't just rule out the fact that they don't qualify because maybe their employer provides coverage, because it does have to go through the actuarial test. As Jill mentioned earlier, there are, the cost is up 9.5% above that individual's income, then they may qualify. So we've actually found a lot of excitement. I think initially, again, as you talk to individuals, it's like, I have coverage. Yes, it's expensive. It's going up. I'm a business owner. Our business, our premiums continue to go up, and I think everyone feels that. But I think it's good for everyone to look and compare and really understand, number one, whether or not they qualify, and number two, is it going to be a benefit to them? And I think we've gotten a lot of positive excitement. So beyond the technical issues, we'll get through that. And I think it's so important to reach out to a navigator because there are a lot of people that thought that they would not benefit from this program have indeed or will indeed.
It's good morning, Mick from Waynesboro. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
What's your question?
Mine's kind of similar to some of the previous callers. I have health insurance through my employer, family of five. It's a high deductible plan, okay, with no co-pays, go to the doctor or on prescriptions, what have you. We got a letter from them saying that it's an adequate plan and we most likely will not qualify for any subsidies or anything. What is available for me? Because I'm looking for an affordable plan with co-pays, because really my plan is not affordable because I can't afford to go to the doctor and pay for it out of my pocket.
Thank you for your call.
Most employers were required to do an actuarial test. Their insurance companies would do it to see if it's an affordable plan. The actuarial test actually includes the 9.5%, as I mentioned earlier, the 9.5% of an individual's income, as well as a 60% of total costs of the premiums paid by the employer. So, and again, there are some variables there, but employers were required, if they provided insurance coverage, to do that actuarial test. And if you receive the letter and it says that they have passed that test, then you probably do not qualify for a program. But it's certainly, never say never. Bring your letter in and maybe seek out assistance with one of our navigators and see if there's something available for you.
Okay, thank you. Anything to add, Jill?
I would just say that over time, some of the employer-based insurance, we may see some changes there because, you know, now people can there's no longer employment lock. You know, people used to stay with jobs longer than they wanted to because they needed to hang on to their health insurance. So with all these new opportunities, I hope that we'll see some reduction in the cost of employer-based insurance as well.
We have a call from Yorktown. Good morning, Pam. How are you?
Hi. Got a question. I currently have health insurance. I'm 63. It's a $7,500 deductible for the privilege of paying $340 a month, and they pay absolutely zero amount until it reaches the $7,500, and then they pay for nothing because they say it's not covered. Mm. spent $98,000 out of pocket in 2011 because I had cancer. Are they dropping me because I have a $7,500 deductible? Is it now illegal?
Are they canceling your insurance?
I mean, can they? Can they cancel it? Because I don't
no,
know.
If
I've seen the maximum deductible in the $6,000 range. I forget what it is now, $6,500, whatever. And mine is higher than that.
There are some new requirements for the maximum out-of-pocket costs per year. I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but there are some new requirements. And again, if this is employer-based coverage,
no, it is not.
Okay, so you're just buying your plan as an individual. You definitely should go to the marketplace and see what alternatives are there for you. You know, at age 63, you still have 2 years before you qualify for Medicare.
I'm trying to stay alive long enough so I can get the medical care that I intensely need.
I've had
no follow-up because I can't.
Yeah,
spend the money.
I would really encourage you to shop for a product through the marketplace and find out if you're eligible for tax
credits.
I know
I'm not eligible for any deductions or whatever because unfortunately or fortunately, depending on your point of view, we had an investment that surprisingly decided to pay out early.
Okay, well, you're still, even if you're over 400% of the poverty line, you can still shop on the marketplace and compare the full cost of those products. And things have changed. And with no increases in underwriting because of pre-existing conditions, you might well find that you could get something cheaper.
Okay, one last question.
Much.
The navigators. While you could still go on healthcare.gov and actually pull up a few things anyway, the only ones I saw were in Portsmouth. Are there any on the Virginia Peninsula? Hampton, Newport News, York County, Jay City?
We do have a navigator who works in that area. So if you go to enroll-virginia.com, you can find the person serving the peninsula area. We have one navigator who covers that region.
Okay,
thanks, Pam, for your call. We really appreciate your calling in this morning. Here's an offline question from a listener, and it goes to anybody who is trying to figure out whether to file. You know, they're staring at that form. Am I single or am I married? This person was married to a same-sex partner in Massachusetts and now lives in Virginia where that same-sex union is not recognized. Quickly, Jill, how do you address that?
Well, some of this still has to evolve, but since all of the tax credits and eligibility issues are run through our U.S. tax code, if the IRS recognizes the union as a marriage, then that's how it will be evaluated. My understanding is that's how it will be viewed for purposes of the Affordable Care Act.
Great. So if there's any confusion about whether you should file as a single person or a married person, keep it in line with what you're filing with your taxes. And we have a positive response from Ken from Williamsburg. Really? You had a positive experience with the ACA?
Yes. Good morning. This is Ken. I just wanted to say that I know it's been a lot of press about the website and how bad it is, but I just wanted to comment that I got on this morning shortly after 8 o'clock, registered, did all the security stuff with the email verification and all that, and it did not take any more than 3 minutes. Until I was able to start browsing what my choices were. So,
hooray, that's terrific.
Website.
Wow, that's great to hear. I mean, we've been waiting for evidence of good results, and it's great to hear that today. And so, everybody, it's time to start shopping again.
Wendy, I heard you say hooray. Is that rare?
Well, no, that's really good because, you know, we have a lot of navigators that, you know, have been a little bit frustrated because the process, the technical issues have been cumbersome, so they've been working a lot with paper and those things. So they will be very happy and obviously have a lot of anxious patients waiting to be helped. So that's wonderful news.
Can I give it an A+?
Excellent.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that endorsement, Ken. We have a call from Lynchburg. Catherine, good morning to you.
Hi. I will be graduating from nursing school in May and getting a job that will probably offer insurance. But since that's after open enrollment, how would enrollment work for me if, say, my insurance, the employee-offered insurance, was above the threshold and I did qualify for the government insurance?
Well, if you're going to be offered health insurance on your job, and again, if it's affordable according to that calculation, then you won't be eligible to go to the marketplace to get tax credits. Now, if there's a gap between the date that you graduate and when your employer-based insurance starts, then you might consider getting a marketplace plan for that period of time before you are gainfully employed with health insurance. And then when you do get a job and you are then eligible for affordable health insurance through your job, then you have to drop your marketplace plan. So changes, people have changes in circumstances throughout the year. Very often that will entitle you to an opportunity to apply for coverage outside the regular open enrollment.
Thank you so much for your call. Let's go straight to Cheryl from Richmond. Cheryl?
Hey, is this the news Affordable Care Act?
It is.
Okay, so I don't have a question. I just wanted to know if this is going to be recorded and I can listen to it at a later time and where I might.
I'm glad you asked that. We have given out a lot of websites and a lot of phone numbers for you to use. These resources will all show up on our website. Check us out. You can go to publicradio.org, virginiapublicradio.org, and then check out Virginia Conversations, and it will all be listed there for you. And thank you for asking that.
Okay, just curious, will this recording be available?
Yes, this actually will show up as early as this afternoon on our website.
Fabulous. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Yeah, thank you. You know, this is the reality. 1 million people in Virginia are without insurance. Let's talk about how the ACA, Jill, is going to impact those people.
Well, many of them will be able to purchase health insurance through the new marketplace, but many others will fall into the Medicaid gap until our Medicaid program is expanded to cover more adults. There will also be some folks who don't qualify at all because of their situation. For example, immigrants who are not documented don't qualify for coverage through the marketplace. And there will still be people who choose not to have health insurance, and they will just pay the tax penalty for not having health insurance. So they may remain uninsured. And then folks who are exempt from that requirement to have health insurance we may also remain uninsured. So we're not going to totally close this problem, but we're very hopeful that with the new marketplace and eventually with a Medicaid expansion in Virginia, that we will address a large percentage of the uninsured.
Any final thought, Wendy, in our last 60 seconds?
No, I certainly agree with Jill. The only other thought I would provide to listeners is, again, to emphasize that there are people out there to help you make informed decisions. And all of the navigators are certified and trained and credentialed. And just make sure that as you're reaching out, go to the website, reach out to the numbers that we've provided,
okay.
And just ensure that that the navigators are individuals, that they identify themselves as navigators.
And that they're the real deal and certified.
That they're
okay.
the real deal.
Great. Thank you, Wendy Bennett, President of Advanced Patient Advocacy, and Jill Hankin of the Virginia Poverty Law Center. Thanks for listening to Virginia Conversations. We'll look for you next week. I'm May Lily Lee. Have a great week.
Virginia Conversations on Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association, the men and women working in Virginia's public schools. VEA, teaching, learning, leading. Online at veanea.org. And by listeners of this Virginia Public Radio member station. Listeners can hear this program again or access other Virginia Public Radio news content at virginiapublicradio.org. This is Virginia Public Radio.